This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's your boy, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Friday, August 6th. We had football last night. I hope everybody enjoyed it. Cowboys, Steelers, preseason football. It was fantastic, kind of, sort of, ugly also. I did watch the game. I was doing some research for, obviously, for Undisputed this morning, doing some research for this podcast, and, you know, I kind of fell asleep a little bit watching preseason football. But because of the Olympics this weekend, there's no more NFL. You have, like, a hiatus, and then next Thursday, the games begin anew. Steelers-Eagles, Patriots-Washington, and football's back. This coming weekend will be the last weekend without football until February. That's kind of insane. Obviously, you guys know we started the podcast, I believe, a year ago, right around this time, maybe a week from now. Pretty cool that it's been 12 months. We survived a year. We got renewed for a second year. It feels like a TV show that got the renewal from the suits. But podcast numbers have been good. Thanks for subscribing, rating, and reviewing. And the people who have been listening from the jump, do you remember how, like, early on I would say every podcast, subscribe, rate, and review? And, you know, you have to, like, do that to promote yourself, because if you're not going to promote yourself, who the hell is? And I think I just, like, forgot that the last 6 months. I think I just said that for the first time in a while. At any rate, thanks for the kind words about Undisputed. It's been a fun week. Today wraps up, you know, the backups were the scabs, if you will. Skip and Shannon are out, so me, LeVar Arrington, and Broussard have been going at it. It's been mostly cordial, some fun back and forths. I think I'm, like, 7-0 in head-to-head debates just because I'm unbelievable in discussing stuff. And it is funny when my relatives or friends text me during the show. And, like, during a commercial break, listen, we are creatures of habit. I will pick up the phone and take a peek. Not all the time. Sometimes I'll take a selfie, like a loser that I am. Cowherd will just, like, come onto the set and just start talking. And the producers are in our ear. Here's what we're doing next. What about swapping this out? Blah, blah, blah. Just a peek, a little peek behind the curtain. Next week, a little back more to normalcy. And I think we have a couple big football guests next week. TBD. But we're actually going to start the pod. I was thinking about talking about the Olympics, but the USA-Australia game, like, just wasn't that great. USA was down 15 in the second quarter, and that's when I fell asleep. And then I woke up, and the U.S. won by, like, 20, and Kevin Durant absolutely carried them. It was funny, because right as I'm falling asleep, you know, Australia's getting these easy buckets in the lane, layups, backdoor cuts, and it's like, man, the U.S. is working hard for baskets. And that's when they started going to Kevin Durant. They were like, you know what? Screw all this passing. Screw this offense. KD, save our ass. And Kevin Durant just went to work. Nobody could check him. Matisse Thybulle tried. Matisse Thybulle was in his jersey, and Durant's still hanging and banging. Which, of course, prompted, as it happens normally, you know, Kevin Durant lights up Australia. Okay? Australia, which has never, to my knowledge, medaled in the Olympics. They can get a bronze here. Kevin Durant destroying Australia prompts Sports Illustrated to write an opinion piece. Kevin Durant is the best player on the planet. That's a real thing that happened. Kevin Durant's incredible. We know this. Rob and I we were going to start with another topic. We'll get to that. I know Rob is excited for it, as am I. But this Kevin Durant thing just kind of got to me. So I texted a guy who trains NBA players, and I think I've told the story. I went to a Laker game, and I like to go on the court beforehand because I'm a nerd, and I like to watch, like, KCP shoot, like, 35 threes in a row. And I wonder, how the hell does he do the same exact stroke from jump to land to form, everything, rotation, it's exact same as KCP. So I go on the court before the game, and I'm standing there, you know, like, people watching these NBA players talk to their hanger-oners, their crew. And an NBA trainer I know rolls up and is like, what's up, Jay? Because he goes to my gym and we got to know, you know, he sees me on some of these shows and we became friendly. And I'm like, oh, how are you, man? And as we're talking, like, JJ Redick comes up to him. And I'm like, oh, and he introduces me. And then Lonzo Ball comes over. And I'm like, in my head, you know, the egos we have. I'm like, oh, damn. I've said some shit about Lonzo. Oh, boy, this could get ugly. Lonzo, super friendly. Hey, what's up? A normal conversation. I mean, I didn't say much because these guys are talking, but Clearly Lonzo had no clue who I was, or he was just like playing it off like, hey, you know what, you can say whatever you want, you're irrelevant to me. But he didn't say any of that. He was totally normal. And so I texted this trainer this Kevin Durant story. And Rob, what is your guess on what he said to Kevin Durant? Is he the best player on the planet? Just a guess.
He said that I 1,000% agree with that.
Do you 1,000% agree?
Yes.
You agree that Kevin Durant's the best player on the planet?
Yes.
Oh, my. Until LeBron retires and KD wins another one without, all caps, the super-duper team. And that was it. I don't know. You really think he's the best? Now listen, I personally liked our conversation yesterday, Rob. It was a little bit of a nuanced conversation. It wasn't like a yes-no. There's no minds getting changed. It was just like a good discussion. How would you define best?
It's the person or player who has the requisite skills across all assets of the, you know, facets of the game. And obviously you're going to be better at some than others. And the ones that you are better at, do they outweigh the ones that you are weaker at? And some guys like Giannis is so devastating in the paint that that's going to elevate his lack of jump shot. So that's why he still has a case. Kevin Durant, I can't think of a single weakness in his game. And on top of that, he is, as Katina Mobley said, the greatest scorer of the basketball that I've ever seen. So by default, I'm leaning with Kevin Durant.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Tough to argue any of that, you know, because he does not have a weakness in his game. The only weakness is one that's out of his hands, out of his control, and that's winning titles without the Warriors.
Correct.
Right? That's not his fault. And that's why I don't like the win argument. Like, was he supposed to beat the Heat when he was massive underdogs? When he had Harden and Westbrook? No, they weren't supposed to win that. Were they ever favored to beat the Warriors in that series? I mean, you could check to see if when it was 2-2, game 5, fourth quarter, up 7 or whatever it was, were they favored in the series? I don't know. But ultimately, like, I mean, they were favored this year and then everybody got hurt. So I don't like the win argument. It's tough for me to think of a, like, if Kevin Durant goes to any team, I think they become the best team in the league. Anywhere he goes. The Nets were the best. The Warriors were the best.
Does that mean he's
the best player?
Yeah, I don't think that he's the kind of guy where no matter what team he's on, they're the best player. They're the best team. Because his style of play is not conducive to that level of his teammates.
But that's the thing. He can fit in anywhere. Warriors didn't need him to like be the focal point of the offense. They were just like, hey, we need you to do this, that, and the other. Okay, I'll do it, and I'm going to be the finals MVP, you know? And then he goes to the Nets, and like, hey, Kyrie and Harden, you guys can dick around, and it's fine. I'm going to get mine. And like, yeah, I think anywhere he goes, he makes him the best team. Team USA, you know, I didn't realize this. He's the leading scorer in USA basketball history.
Yeah, I think he surpassed Carmelo Anthony.
Carmelo Anthony, Carmelo.
That's right. Hashtag future Laker Carmelo Anthony.
So no, but current Laker.
Yeah, to piggyback on what you said, though, see, I think that there's something unique about Durant in that I don't think you can just drop him on whatever team and they instantly become a contender.
Okay,
or they become become a playoff team.
If you take Zach LaVine away from the Chicago Bulls and you plop in Kevin Durant and you take him off the Nets, who's the best team in the East?
The Bucks.
I don't know about
that. Well, see, like, here's the thing, is based on that idea, if you're saying if I just plop you on whatever team, are they instantly one of the better teams in the league? There's only like three guys who I think you can say that with, and one of them being Luka Doncic, who's the guy who you think is the best player in the league.
Okay, that's what I'm getting to. For my money, Luka is the best player in the league. And I know people are going to yell he doesn't play defense. He's not a great defender by any stretch. But when I think of the best, I think who impacts winning the most. And for my money, Luka elevates players like nobody else in the game. LeBron did this for the longest time, but he's 36 and a half. If you really want to quibble, he's the older version of Luka. You know, but Luka's just younger and doing it with weaker players. And he hasn't got out of the first round, which really, really hurts my argument.
Right.
But again, I don't think it's winning. I don't think it's just about winning. Now, I know what you're going to say. Like, well, Michael Jordan was pumping in a shit ton of points with the Bulls in the 80s, and he couldn't get out of the first round. Nobody considered him the best. You got to win championships to win the best. Okay. Well, if that's the case, then it's got to be LeBron, right? But wait, Kevin Durant beat LeBron head-to-head in the finals twice, wiped the floor with him. Now, one of the times LeBron had no chance with the after Kyrie left, but when Kyrie was there, Kevin Durant was the best player on the floor. He was unstoppable. I mean, he head-to-head in the fourth quarter. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I said them on FS1 multiple times during that series. Kevin Durant annihilated LeBron head-to-head. It happens. You know? I mean, he had the better team. So it's very subjective who is the best. I mean, like, in the NFL, it's like Tom Brady goes to the Buccaneers. They hadn't made the playoffs in forever. They win the Super Bowl. Like, I mean, listen, it's amazing. Tom Brady's the best player in the league. But wait, what about Aaron Rodgers? What about Russell Wilson? If they went to this team, you know, like, you could play that game all day and have cogent arguments for anyone. But I think ultimately in the NBA, it's basically Luka, Kevin Durant, and LeBron in some order. Unless there's somebody I'm missing. Should Giannis be in there?
I think Giannis has a case. I personally
over any of those guys?
Yeah, I mean, over LeBron at this, because LeBron, it's what, 36? Like, I know LeBron is still really, really good, but at this stage in his career, he's just not that guy anymore.
Who won the finals MVP when it was LeBron 2 years ago in the bubble?
LeBron. I mean, but Anthony Davis had the case for that one, too. I think Anthony Davis was very impactful. But see, I'm glad that you started this whole thing based off of the Olympics. I think this might illustrate my point better than anything that I could say or that any stat I could bring up. Team USA has the best player from half of the NBA teams. You know, like Devin Booker's the best player in Phoenix. Dame Lillard's the best player in Portland.
Wait. Chris Paul or Devin Booker?
Devin Booker's the better player. I think Chris Paul was more important to them.
Okay, fair.
You know, Dame Lillard, Jason Tatum. Like, they are the best players on their teams.
Mm-hmm.
And when things got hairy in that first half, when they were down 15, everybody got the tight tookus. What did they do? Get the ball to KD, get out of his way. So in a room full of alphas, they said, no, that's the guy. That's the one we're going to go to. And it's similar to what happened in 2008. Now, the Redeem team didn't really get challenged in the same way that this team did. But in that gold medal game, when it started to get a little bit close, it was like a 6-point game, 5-point game down the stretch against Spain. Kobe, you're going to be the one who's got to bring us home. Not LeBron, not D. Wade, not Chris Paul. Kobe's going to be the guy who has to do it for us.
How do you even remember 2008? I don't remember that at all. Was that against Spain?
That was against Spain, against the Gasol brothers.
Yeah, I think 2008.
And the Gasol brothers gave it to us, too, in that game.
Ricky Rubio was in his bag.
Yeah, and so I think that it's something like that where you can't put a finger on it. You can't point to a shooting percentage or a plus minus or the assist numbers. It's just when things really get tough, when we don't know what's going to happen, when the things are in the balance, who's the guy that you want on your team more than anybody else? And we saw in 2008, it was Kobe and it wasn't LeBron. We saw in this Olympic team, granted, you know, LeBron's not there, Steph's not there, Harden's not there, but there were very good players, all NBA players on this team, and every single one of them, to a man, said, get the ball to Kevin Durant. KD had more baskets in the first half, 7, that he made, than any other player had attempts.
Hmm.
Like, they were force-feeding him because they knew that they in this situation, he's the guy we got to go to.
I mean, he's incredible. He's one of my favorite players. I'm just a huge fan of his work. I like watching him. But for some reason, Rob, he gets dinged because he went to the Golden State Warriors. I don't want to rehash that. I don't want to relitigate that. I have defended Durant's move a million times. But then you got these buffoons, and I'm sorry to call him a name like that. I really shouldn't do that. It's out of pocket. Buffoons like Charles Barkley saying, oh, well, LeBron James stacking his teams has hurt his legacy. And you know this is a shot at KD as well. And Barkley's riding this as long as he wants. Now, Barkley said this on some Bob Costas show. And here's what really... Now, I haven't seen the full interview, so I don't know if Costas pushed back. But I have pushed back on Barkley about this on social media. And Barkley doesn't have it, so he probably hasn't seen it. But...
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Everybody seems to forget, what did Charles Barkley do in his career? He was in Philadelphia, and when they clearly could not get over the hump, what did Charles Barkley do? Trade me. I want to go to a good team. I'm getting out of here. Get me out of here now. And he didn't want to just go anywhere. Charles Barkley demanded Phoenix. They had won 50 games, I think, 3 or 4 years in a row. Charles Barkley gets to Phoenix. And they get to the finals. Yeah, I think he had a 50-point game in the finals. Kevin Johnson, Thunder Dan Marley. They were one of the better teams in the West. And this was post-Magic, the post-Magic Jabbar era when the Lakers were fading. And Barkley couldn't get over the hump. But guess what? He decided when the Phoenix thing petered out, I'm demanding a trade. I want out or I'm going to retire. Goes to the Houston Rockets. Joins forces with a decaying Olajuwon, Clyde Drexler, another team contending perpetually. And they couldn't do it. So let me just remind you, Charles Barkley basically forced his way to stack teams. To stack teams and take down Michael Jordan. Okay? And now, Barkley is ripping LeBron and presumably Kevin Durant for doing the same thing. What's the word for that? Is that a hypocrite, Rob? Is that? I think that's the word, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So Barkley is a complete hypocrite while trying to denigrate the all-time greats now and protect his era. Because you know Barkley was an amazing all-time player. He was probably a top 15, top 20 guy all-time. One of those best players without a title. He's gotten passed by so many guys from this era, and he's pissed about it. Curry lapped him. Durant already passed him. LeBron blew by him. You got a bunch of guys blowing by Barkley. And pretty soon, 10 years, I don't know, is Barkley a top 40 guy anymore? I mean, hell, is Giannis bad, a better career than Barkley? He's got a chip and two MVPs. And I just think these old guys are just so bitter. Like, this whole stacked team. Do we forget who Kobe's teammate was in L.A.? He had Shaq. Shaq won 3 MVPs. Shaq and Kobe were 2 of the top 5-10 players in the league. That's not a stacked team. Kobe's agent forced the trade. He didn't want to go to Charlotte. He forced his way to L.A. What's the difference between LeBron stacking a team, a player forcing his play somewhere else, recruiting Kevin Durant to Golden State? What does it matter? It gets me so ticked off, Rob. And you know what? I'm not trying to get ticked off. I got to calm down. I'm already getting myself upset. Like, I hate when Barkley does this because it really gets to the young millennial idiots. And I know there's a lot of them listening. Fine. I shouldn't have called you guys idiots, but it's just annoying.
Yeah, I agree with you. And if he's going to say something like that, I hope he keeps that same energy with Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Larry Bird. Each one of these guys had multiple Hall of Famers on their teams. And you don't hear a peep from that because the narrative is, well, those were done through the draft. Those were done through free agency. It's not like these guys teamed up. Well, it doesn't matter how you get from point A to point B. As long as you get there, that's all that matters. And
nobody talks about Patrick Ewing, do they? You know why? Because he played with Charles Oakley, Anthony Mason, and John Starks. Maybe he should have stacked the team.
Exactly. And here's another thing, and this is something that's not talked about enough, especially because there's so many Jordan fanboys in the sports media world. In 1996, there was a newspaper in Phoenix that had a whole column about how expansion was ruining the NBA.
Oh!
Okay? Dennis Rodman says it, quote, "This league is so filtered and watered down, we can beat anybody with our eyes closed pretty much."
I remember that.
It goes on. It says, "Charles Barkley and Larry Bird have expressed comparable sentiments." points out about the Utah Jazz. Jerry Sloan, even after they said, yeah, you know, it's watered down, look at the Jazz. Jerry Sloan says, you're right. It is watered down. We only need two guys to be successful nowadays. And if you really want to, if you really want to, you know, use your third eye in this situation, in 1996, the mid 90s up to the 2000s, which team had the most stacked roster in the NBA?
2000s?
1996 to the start of 2000.
Okay, so...
so the second half of the 90s.
So Jordan's Bulls were the most stacked. They got Kukoc.
Exactly.
They got the best European player, and they added him to Jordan and Pippen.
And Dennis Rodman. They had three top 50 players and the best European player in the league. So somehow... that's not viewed as a stacked deck because I try to go through all the rosters, you know, say what you want. The Utah Jazz had two guys, you know, the Magic had Shaq and Penny, but Penny's not a top 50 guy all time. And no. Somehow that's not viewed as a super team because it's, well, Michael Jordan made these guys. Well, no, I think that Michael Jordan had nothing to do with Scottie Pippen being arguably the best defender in basketball during that time. I don't think that Michael Jordan is the reason why Dennis Rodman is viewed as the greatest rebounder of all time and one of the best defenders of all time. I'm not saying he didn't help them, but the fact is those guys were pretty good on their own. And somehow this narrative exists that, well, you know, Michael Jordan didn't need super teams because he already had the super team. He was on the super team. His team was more stacked than anybody else during that late 90s era. It's disappointing that guys nowadays like Chuck and Shaq, they go out of their way to diss these younger players just because they're bitter, and it's just disappointing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, think back to those Utah Jazz teams that the Bulls struggled with so much, okay? Mailman and Stockton, got it. Like, do you want to know who their third and fourth best players were? Jeff Hornacek, Byron Russell, Ostertag, like... no, I mean, as my young son likes to say now, no cap. The Warriors sweep them and win every game in the finals by 20. There's no way in hell the Durant and Curry get forced to six games against Karl Malone and John Stockton. Like, zero chance. I'm so glad you brought up that story from 96. I had mentioned it on my radio show a while back. I'd forgotten all about it. Gosh, that's good ammo. People love that stuff. I don't know. So anyways, I started to let Barkley get out of my skin. Rob, what do you got planned this weekend?
I actually got some big plans. I'm going to be celebrating my wife's cousin got his master's, so they're having a graduation party. It's delayed a little bit, obviously, because of COVID, but we're going to be celebrating that. And getting ready for, in 2 weeks, my nephew is starting his first season of tackle football.
No.
So we're all hyped. He's 8.
And they're letting him play tackle?
Yes. Yes.
Wow. What age did you play tackle?
I didn't start playing until high school playing tackle.
Yeah, I don't know. That's not recommended.
Well, we'll see. He's very pumped up. He said he's going to get his Aaron Donald on these kids.
Is he a big kid?
He's big to me. I mean, I'm 5 foot nothing, so everybody's big to me.
Any idea what he weighs? I'm just curious. That's a random question for an 8-year-old.
No,
but my son is on the light side, and he knows kids who are over 100 pounds now, like in the 90s, and he's like right about 60. He's like me, small. But... He's getting way quicker in the last 6 months. We don't need to go into my son. But this will be the last weekend without football. I got a Hall Pass this weekend. By the way, have you seen Hall Pass?
I have seen Hall Pass.
It's such a great movie. Here's another movie that was on yesterday that I watched while I was doing some work. I Love You, Man. Have you seen that?
That's a great movie.
Paul Rudd and I think Jason Segel.
Jason Segel.
Segel, sorry, Segel. Great movie. There's some really sneaky good... like I Love You, Man is a really good comedy. I also really like the dude who's the real estate agent coworker who's kind of like a douche. He's like the quintessential LA D-bag who kind of works with you but talks a cool game and thinks he's like the shit. And the guy, he's the one who says, "Let me wet my beak on that action."
Yeah.
I mean, they got,
and then he asks him. He says, what's your urinal cake situation like?
Yeah. He's like, yeah, you know, I got people coming up to me all the time saying, you look familiar. He goes, yeah, you pissed on my face. Because he's on urinal cakes in L.A. And listen, I'm not saying I've met a million of those guys, but I have definitely met a few of those guys out here in L.A. who talk that game. They sound cool. They look the part. But then the more, like, if you spend more than 5 minutes with them, you're like, wow, this guy's such a douche. It's just, listen, LA's been amazing so far. It's only been 5 years. I'm having fun. Anyways, we're way off sports. It is the final weekend that without football for a while. Hey, everybody stay safe out there. COVID's getting bad, you know? Just listen to Kirk Cousins talk about it. He seems to know everything. Dr. Kirk Cousins, that is. No, I had to get in that day. Have you seen the Kirk Cousins video, Rob?
I love the Kirk Cousins video. He's like, yeah, we'll practice. We'll meet outside. And if it comes down to it, I'll have a plexiglass around me.
That's my favorite part. He goes, we're willing to do anything except get the vaccine. Like, he actually said, we're willing to do anything. Plexiglass, outside, mask, everything. We're willing to do everything except get the vaccine. I just found it a little comical. Dr. Kirk Cousins. I will just say, and I don't want to go too much into it because we'll ask some of the guys that cover the league, like, I wonder what happened. Like, what's going to happen to locker rooms if one of the quasi-stars or stars doesn't want to get the vaccine, gets it, not gets the vax, but gets Delta or whatever, spreads it, and a team has to cancel a game. Now your star is taking money out of the pockets. And I know what you can, I know, I'm sure there's people yelling like, hey, you can still get it even if you get the vax. Right. I got that. Yes. I mean, you could still get it, no doubt. But there's clearly another barrier of protection if you get the vaccine. And I wonder what the potential powder keg there is in the locker rooms. Because I probably shouldn't bring it up, Rob, but you know, you and I both know somebody who is staunchly against it and has given COVID to people we both know.
Yes.
From the story that you've heard of this person, and I should really not have brought this up, but don't delete it from the podcast. It's interesting, and I'm curious as to your response to this. Is there a weird vibe around that person that you're aware of?
Yeah, a little bit. Yep. A little bit, yeah.
What, can you imagine that in an NFL locker room with hundreds of thousands of dollars at stake for a game? Or for some players, maybe mil, I don't know.
Oh,
like, you're supposed to be, if you're a captain or the leader of the team and you don't get the vax and then you get sick and then you spread it to other dudes and then you guys have to cancel a game. It threatens to become really, really interesting. I don't know. It's just food for thought this weekend, folks. All right. Be safe out there. We'll talk to you Monday.